to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The feast of the first fruits is the acceptance of coming out. It's the acceptance that you have left something and are entering into a new state of being. In verse 14. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now, that's either true or it isn't true. I mean, it's either I'm going to be sustained by something totally and completely different. I'm no longer going to be sustained by bread, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Or I'm going to continue to live as a Gentile. It's not both. We become too holy to seek enrichment by possessions. Too secure to be driven to do anything in haste. To worry about anything. You understand that? We don't need possessions to establish our identity. We don't need the passage of time or the hastiness to solve a problem. We are always at rest. Nothing can disturb the peace of Jerusalem. And the reason is because we have partaken of the first fruits. We've now entered the new grain of the land. We've come out of this thing where we've lived by cause and effect, and now we're entering a new state of existence. Now that's the meaning of first fruit. It can't happen until you celebrate Passover. It can't happen until you celebrate unleavened bread. It can't, then first fruit can happen. First fruit is the experience of the resurrection, but you have to experience it. It can no longer be intellectual.
I feel like I really saw that for the first time on Saturday, when we were singing and after we had dinner and fourth cup, and I finally saw, I walked through something, and it was like, it doesn't matter how I hold my mouth, or, if somebody gives me a look, it's here, it's already here, and you're here, so, enjoy.
The crystal set on the way home, it was like one of those ringing things was being betrothed to God, and it was just really neat thinking about that. There was never any separation.
Okay, well, think about a problem that you have. Think about a situation. It's impossible. There can't be. You cannot hold the idea of that you are dead and a problem at the same time. You cannot hold the idea that you are crucified and be out of the rest at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. You cannot be in a state of anxiousness and be dead. You cannot know you're crucified and be in anything other than total peace. You understand that? So the issue is never the issue. The issue is the crucifixion. The issue is never Carolyn or whatever. It's never anything. It's always, am I crucified? I'm crucified. I'm dead. The love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That's radical. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Means you no longer make a determination about a person by what you sense, by the senses. You know no one after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. That's what it means to believe in him, is to know him after the flesh. What he can do for you, to be a hired servant. Now we know him henceforth, yet know we him henceforth no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He doesn't improve the old. That's the big thing. I mean, that's why I hate religion so much. Religion tries to improve the old system. If they say, if any man is in Christ, he is an improved creation. He is an improved creature. No. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, the fact that all things have become new, you have to have some way of sustaining yourself. And you can only gain sustenance by the new bread of the land. You cannot eat of the new bread of the land until you have made the wave offering. You cannot make the wave offering until you have celebrated Passover, until you have celebrated the unleavened bread, until you have experienced the resurrection. Otherwise, no matter how much you can stand there and wave all day.
What is the wave offering?
The meat. It's the meat offering. You can assume the ascension position from here to eternity. And you will fight at, when time ends, you'll be sitting just like that.
One of those burned corpses.
They'll be fried just like that.
And your arms will fall off.
It's like Nagasaki.
And you will be,
it'll
be as though you never existed. Your memory will never even be, you won't even be a bad memory.
Rick who?
It'll be as though you never existed. And all things are of God. Now this is, again, how do I know that I have entered the new state of being? Because I can see and know that all things are of God. If I don't know that all things are of God, I'm still back here somewhere before the... It's, you understand? The feast are the set times of the Lord. The fruit of the experience of the Passover and the experience of the unleavened bread and the experience of the feast of first fruits is that now you see differently. You see now all things are of God. You don't try to see it. Crazy. Well, you don't try to prove it with arguments. You don't even try to look it up with Scripture. The only thing you use for Scripture is you search the Scriptures to see whether these things be true. And so you understand, all the Pharisees in the universe, they search the Scriptures because in them they think they find principles of eternal life. But they are they which testify only of Christ, and you won't still come unto him. Again, in the original it says, you fools. They testify only of me and you won't come unto me. But yet you continue to search the Scriptures and memorize them and hide them away in your heart. God, there's no statement that makes me more sick to my stomach than someone saying that. Praise God, brother, I'm just searching the Scriptures and hide them away in my heart.
Where does it even come from?
Proverbs. Huh?
Oh, I thought she meant Saint people saying.
No, I mean that.
Well, it says in all fundamentalist religions, all religions say.
That's why it's the holy. You
know, second chapter of Pharisee, verse 10.
The Holy Bible.
That was one thing that I could never get to hang together when I was a Presbyterian is, if the Savior has come, why is there still so much to do? You know, why is there
too many doors to knock on?
Yeah, it's like, save from what?
You know why Presbyterians don't have altar calls?
Nobody will come.
No, they're afraid somebody will come.
Oh, yeah. What do we do now?
That's hilarious.
All right. And all things are of God. You understand you can't learn that? Hmm. you try to learn that, and then you have somebody that's your boss, like me. In all things out of God. Can you believe that? It's not optional. Can you understand that? Do you understand that if you cannot believe that, you are in deep shit tonight and you better know the fear of God? It's not an intellectual exercise to say, oh, it's not something to learn into, it's something to repent into. The only reason you don't believe all things of God is because you are still sitting in your throne, in your temple, proclaiming yourself to be as God. You are your own God, judging for yourself good from evil. Oh, well, you don't understand. Oh, yes, I do. You're a little fucking God. Well, this couldn't be right. Neither could the crucifixion couldn't be of God. God wouldn't have treated his son like that.
Yeah, certainly wouldn't ask to sacrifice Isaac.
How could a loving God do such a thing? That's the demon's response. All things are of God. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The word reconciliation in the Greek means to exchange. Given us the ministry of exchange. We are at the exchange window. I don't like this. I can't kill a mother. See, it's dead. Well, will it change? Probably not. It's no longer your business. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What is the word of reconciliation? There's only one. The word of reconciliation, the only word of reconciliation, is not this syrupy bullshit, oh, you should love your brother. No. The only word of reconciliation is repentance. And now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Why do you think... Can you believe how righteous it is for you to feel guilty? Can you believe how un-Christ-like it is for you to say, I deserve all of this, or
first met you, you used to say, guilt is thinking you could do anything better. Period. No exception.
Do you understand why the only reason that you cannot believe that all things are of God is retained guilt? At the core level. What's the only reason?
Because you think he should have intervened and didn't in that moment? You don't understand the relationship. Well, I guess what Rick's saying, if you think you have the power to do something better, then you can feel guilty about it because you could have, and therefore you can see that God isn't acting in this situation, it's not as it should be because I could have affected it.
Oh, okay.
You become God.
And therefore you become God.
Yeah, okay.
But you do it really sincerely.
Oh,
worse than becoming God, you become a sincere God.
We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Well, there's another one you can feel the guilty about. Oh, I've received the grace of God in vain.
Sounds so right in our mind, and it sounds so funny when you do that.
It doesn't sound like it.
It sounds so humble.
For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
What is succor?
Help. Don't you see? Can you begin to see that? As long as you believe that time, there's some time left, that you can justify anything. And can I ask you? I can't tell you how important it is that you understand this. That right now, you believe for at least a second that time is going to end in the next 30 seconds. If you don't know that, if you can't taste that, then you've never believed. All that God is to you is a paint job on time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. I wish some of us would hear that.
What does that mean?
It means that what you do is representative of the body, doesn't it?
It means that if you shouldn't take that scripture and take it out of context and say, no, you can't say, giving no offense to anything. So, how do you define what an offense is? Is you have to believe that there's time left. An offense is something that would cause you to think that there's time left. And that's what would cause the ministry to be blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in imprisonments, in stripes, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, whether it appears to be evil or is good. By honor, we can start to get up here, we can say, well, I can get some righteousness by doing the Mother Teresa bit. Then they go on and says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. You understand why we're too holy to have our righteousness defined by possessions or our purpose defined by possessions? Again. Well, you can tell somebody that hasn't, that they haven't tasted Passover, because they'll say something like this. They'll say, "Well, I think you're pretty, I hear what you're saying, brother, but it seems to me that you need more balance."
More power. More power is others' view.
That's a reasonable thing. Extreme is balance.
What does that mean?
It means that you talk about the death side of the cross too much. You don't talk about the life side. You're too zealous. Don't you understand you got to have a little tolerance for other people's belief? You're so intense.
Who would be so dumb to say that to you?
Somebody that didn't know.
I don't wonder.
All of us.
Is there anybody in this room that hasn't said that?
O you Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. You know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your own cooking. Yeah. We don't constrain you to be circumcised, but you do.
No. You are not handicapped in our eyes. You are perfect in our eyes. But in your eyes, you're not.
That's just what Johnny said.
Now for a recompense in the same, I speak unto you as children, be ye also enlarged. And again, you can only be enlarged. The enlargement is always talking about, whether it's in Isaiah, it talks about enlarging the ropes of your tent, or enlarging your habitation, or it's talking about in the New Testament, in Corinthians. To enlarge, you can only enlarge when you've tasted the new fruit of the land, when you've tasted the new food of the land. You can only begin to enlarge once you've experienced the Feast of First Fruits. Otherwise, you're constrained by your own limitations. Really, and we've talked about it in this context, you're constrained and identified by your own shame. Your shame is what's defined your boundaries. Your own limitations have defined you. That's why the disciples now... And the disciples right now in this, they're eating of this new land. They're going to spend the next few days eating of the new. Christ is with them for 40 days. They're tasting, they're eating of the new fruit of the land. And in a few days, they're going to turn the world upside down. Bunch of ignorant disciples. They did it because of this. Verse 14. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. To be yoked is to be in an alliance. What alliances do you have tonight with the world? What do you esteem as important? If anything you esteem as valuable or important is the same thing the world esteems as valuable and important, you are in an alliance with the world, and you are unequally yoked together. Does that communicate?
In contractually, in the business, I've agreed to perform certain tasks. Okay, so, in essence, I am yoked by that contractual agreement, right?
That's pissant. That's nothing. That's not even talking about that. What this is talking about is not, is idolatry. It's talking about things that you are in agreement with.
I'm carrying it through to that.
No, you're not. If you were carrying it through to that, you wouldn't even ask the question. Because God is all and in all.
I'm confused. Imagine it's talking about being yoked. Like, that's the metaphor of oxen. I mean, if you're in alliance with someone, you're going down a certain path, and you can't, it's like a vow has been made. You're in an alliance. You can't deviate from that path at all. That's what a being yoked together is.
Okay, let's look at it. Think of it in a new context. Christ said in Luke, "You are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts." For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. What is it that you value in your life? If it's something that all men value, then it's an abomination unto God, and you are unequally yoked. You can't be yoked if you... I mean, like, to, you know, we had a meeting with six or eight attorneys to iHarmony, a bunch of attorneys, a gaggle of attorneys today. You know, and that I agreed to do some stuff. But that no more makes me, I'm not unequally yoked. They're just a hammer. Can you be unequally yoked together with a hammer? You use the world, but you don't give it any breath. You use the world, but you don't abuse it. Whatsoever your hand touches, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. If you do it heartily as unto the Lord, that means you're going to try to do your best for Jesus. It means if you're doing it unto the Lord, you won't care what happens. You understand that?
Yeah.
If you care what happens, you're unequally yoked because everybody else cares that.
I think there's more to it somewhere. I understand what you're saying.
Okay. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you.
What's Belial?
Satan.
Satan. The unclean thing is the old creature.
Well, the unclean thing is basically anything that thinks it's clean. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Well, why are we talking about all that? Because I want you to see I want you to hunger for that life that isn't based on cause and effect, that isn't based on sensory perception, that isn't based on perceived anything. It's just based on
being dead.
On God. It's based on this is the day the Lord hath made, be glad and rejoice therein. Not in some definition of what that day should be. You understand the difference? What?
It just hit.
No.
Right. Why does that?
That thing you read Sunday, the idea that the resurrected Christ, the first thing he would say is, who will contend with you?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you've done it. Now, who's going to come? What is going to come against me is what I hear in this.
Well, I want you to see one thing. No, I don't. Can we take it? I'm just exhausted.
Yeah, go ahead.
Huh? That's enough for tonight.
Thank you.
I am so exhausted, I can't hardly.
Did you say take it?
Yep, take a big breath.